David won. Hooray. Right. I'm just going to move this up here if I can. So what does that teach us, other than how to draw really fast? But, yeah, it would be good, wouldn't it? So I hope you got a bit of your thinking caps on this morning. Because, brilliant. Because Jill's one step ahead of me, fantastic. No, that's great, Jill. That's fine. That's the first slide, right? Perfect. So I just let us think a little bit about a couple of points about the Goliath, the giant, and two or three things about David, and also two or three things about the Israeli soldiers that were there as well. Because although it's a story about David and Goliath, sorry, I realize some of you can't see this, although it's a story about David and Goliath, you know, we can kind of park it as a, well, that's a nice story, particularly in the kids' work and that kind of thing. But like all of these stories in the scripture, you know, Paul says to Timothy, the whole of scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and training in righteousness. So what has this story got to teach you and me today? And I think it's something about the giants we face. I don't think anyone here is going to face somebody who's 3 meters high. I'd like to know if that was true. But we have giants of our own, don't we, that we face. And the point about the story is the giant is stopping God's plan and purpose from happening. And so the question is, for us today, how does that affect us? So as we look at this story, I've put some verses up from 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I just want us to think, first of all, if we think about Goliath, right? One thing about Goliath from this story, from these verses, what can we say about him? Someone said big, fantastic. It's not difficult. He's not difficult. That's great, thank you. Goliath, he's big. So you probably can't read all of this, but Goliath or the giants is big, right? Second thing, I guess I need to turn this on, don't I? Then it'll work better. Ta-da, there we go. So from these verses, what else? This is a little bit harder, I must admit, but what can we say about the giant from these verses, do you think, as you read those words? Is arrogant? Good one, Karen. Yeah, it's arrogant. Back down here. I apologise for my writing. It's why I was never a teacher. Okay. Pardon? Have contempt. That's a good word, Dylan. Thank you. He has contempt.
Boastful.
We're racing away now. Threatening. Can't write this fast. Fabulous. Thanks, Micah. Pride was the last one. But as I read these verses, one thing that leaps out to me is he's challenging the Israelites on his terms. He's calling the shots. Yeah, and sometimes the giants in our lives are challenging us on their terms. They're calling the shots. And we need to figure out how we get away from that. Next set of verses. Yeah. So what else can we say about the giants, about the Goliath? This one's more straightforward, I hope.
He was frightening.
Perfect.
Loud.
Yeah, frightening and loud. Yeah, good one.
Intimidating.
Thanks, Lawrence. I think we're running out of space. This is very good. Well done. And I haven't got a verse for this one, but if you look at the chapter in its entirety, what's happening is he's distracting the Israelites from looking at their God. Instead, they're looking at the giant, and he's got their attention. And that's another thing. So if you think about all of these things, we can start to think about some of the things perhaps in our own lives that feel a little bit like that, and therefore prevent us from stepping into all that God has got in store for us and all that he wants to do in our lives. And we can feel like that. So now let's move on to David. What can we say about David? So from this verse here in verse 26, what do you think this tells us about David? Confident in God, brilliant. Yes, Angie?
Fearless,
brilliant. Knew his God. Thanks, Tony. That is brilliant. That's actually what I've got. And that's what I'm looking for. He was concerned with the things of God first. You know, he wasn't bothered about his own life in that sense or anything else. His concern and what got him was up against our God. You know, he was bothered about the things in his society, in his culture, in his day. And I think that's really significant for us in terms helping us to overcome the giants. Second thing we can say about David from these verses, this might be a little bit more subtle, I don't know, I hope not.
Brave.
He was brave, yeah? Yeah, if I could shrink that down a bit, Sarah, I think we're saying he'd learnt lessons along the way that he was now applying. And if we've been a Christian 1 week, or 50 years, it doesn't matter. We've already learnt lessons along the way that God is teaching we can then apply and put into practice in the things that face us. You know, and that's a common trait of the way Jesus works in our lives, you know. I remember years and years and years ago, I used to be the guy who filled the baptistry in the church we were in. This is back in my 20s. And that was the first thing I ever did in the church. And one of the leaders said to me, you've been faithful in that, you'll be good when we give you a group to do, or we do X, Y, and Z, you know. And God puts us in places where we learn things that we then use later on in our lives. Third thing we can say about David here, from this verse, do you think?
Humble.
Good one. David's humble. What about the fact he's talking about, it's not about armour? He knows God is all powerful.
Trust,
yeah.
Self-assured.
He's self-assured, or is he God-assured, do you think? Yeah. Brilliant, Sheila.
Challenged
him in the name of the Lord. Thank you. Yeah, he knows the battle is not about weapons. It may look like it is, because this guy's nearly 10 foot tall, and he's got a huge javelin and a load of armor. But David knows that actually the battle isn't about weapons. It's about something else. He's got courage, yeah, and actually, he knows God is with him, doesn't he? That's what starts to come through as you read the verses about David. He's got this courage, this confidence, and humility because he knows that God is with him. Yeah, and back to the earlier point that, you know, he's learned things about along the way as he's fought the lion and the bear, as you do, and that God has helped him that, and therefore he trusts his God to help him in what he's now facing. And then look at the soldiers, the Israelite soldiers. I've got a couple of things here. So the Israelite soldiers, what about them? What does this verse say about them?
Scared.
Brilliant, Michelle. Yeah, so they're looking at the giant, right? They're not looking at God. And that's probably one of the crux things in the whole story. They're scared. That's right. What about here, this verse? What does this verse tell us, do you think, about soldiers? Might be a bit more thought. They've given up. Yeah, that's a good one, Cheryl. Goliath was, yeah, that's right. The effect of that on the soldiers. This is probably more about the warped way my brain works. He believed what he's telling them, yeah. But as I read that also, for 40 days, what happened is all the soldiers came out to the top of the hill. They all stood there and went, and then Goliath comes out and he goes, and then they all stand there and then they all go back home again. And then they repeat it. Day after day after day. And it says to me, the soldiers have got used to having the giant around. They haven't figured out how to overcome it. So they just learn to live with Goliath. They learn to live with the giant. And sometimes we can do that, can't we? We have these things in our lives that are stopping God's plan and purpose from happening for us. And we just learn to live with this giant. And I think, is that the last one? Yeah, and I think Sarah already said, they're looking at the giant, they're not looking at God. And we see that in contrast to David. So was it, thanks, Micah, that's brilliant. Far better writing than I would ever have done. It's fabulous. So as we think about, you know, what does a giant look like? A giant that stops us from progressing in the things of God. The giant that stops us taking hold of what God has taken hold of us for. What are the traits of that? What does that look like in our own lives? And then if we think about David and how he responds, what are the things we need to look at in our own lives to try and begin to get to the same place that David was at? And, giants, we'll come back to that one. I just got a couple of examples of people who have had giants in their own lives that actually they've learned to overcome in the same way. They've learned to trust in God and look at what God can do and not look at the actual giant they face. Anybody know who this guy is? Oh, bingo. George Muller. Yeah, so for those that don't know, George Muller was a 19th century Christian. And he looked at the state of the UK or the state of England in the mid-19th century and the amount of poverty, particularly amongst children, and the number of orphans that were in the country at that time and the lack of education that was available to the poorer working classes at the time. And instead of being overwhelmed by the size of the task, instead of saying this is too big, you know, can't do anything, what a terrible state the nation's in, who's going to do anything, he prayed and he turned to God and he looked at God. And by the end of his life, as a consequence of that, he found orphanages that had housed over 10,000 children, 10,000 orphans had been looked after and cared for by the end of his life. He founded 117 schools that provided Christian education to over 120,000 children. The one guy, obviously with a team around him, but rather than being overwhelmed by the size of the task and that giant in that sense, he looked to his God. And there are great stories. If you ever find out a biography of him, there are great stories of how, for example, in the orphanage one morning, the children are sat around for breakfast and they haven't got any food. And so they pray. And when they finish praying, the local baker turns up with some excess bread he just happened to have that day and gives them sufficient bread to feed them. When you've done that, the doorbell rings again and the milkman turns up with excess milk. And there's numerous examples of his life, of how he turned and faced God and prayed rather than simply looking at the giant of the problem and thinking, being overwhelmed. Second person, anybody know who this is? Joni, very good. Joni Erickson, yes. Yeah, so Joni Erickson, she was a Christian. When she was 17, terrible diving accident, and as a consequence, has lived the rest of her life as a quadriplegic. In her story, she talks about the depression, the anger, the suicidal thoughts, the doubts about God that she went through following all of that accident. And then it talks about how she came out of that because she learned to trust and learned to pray. And rather than being overwhelmed by the giant of those things, she turned it around for good with God's help and founded a great organization spreading the Christian message amongst the disabled community, first in the US and then around the world, and teaching, you know, how not to be overwhelmed by those things. So another example of someone facing a giant, and a very personal one in that sense, but not letting that overcome. Last one. This guy, he's called Patrick Reagan. Some of you might know him, I don't know. He's got an OBE for work amongst inner city children in London. And he ran a Christian charity called XLP that I think one or two of our youth went on. Right, yeah, thought so. And he got an OBE for the children's work that he's doing, Christian charity amongst inner city children. But in his, I think in his late 30s, he got terrible problems with his legs and the knees in particular. started to disintegrate, so that he needed to have both legs shattered and then those metal frames put on them and then tightened and every so often and had those frames on for 6 months, one leg first and then the other leg. And he describes, very similar to Joni, the depression, the anger, the bitterness, the why does this happen, God, etc., that he went through, and how that was almost like a giant for him. Does he look at that, or does he learn to trust God? But out of that whole experience, he and his wife learned to build another charity looking at the whole process of mental health and well-being, because that was what was really affected for him through his injury. And so they built another charity looking at mental health, providing these well-being groups. It's called Kintsugi Hope Well-Being Groups, and actually we'll be starting one in MCF come September. But he built that out of the difficult experience he went through and the challenges that he had. And rather than looking at that giant for him, he turned and looked at God and thinking, you know, how, oh God, do we get through this? And there are now over 800 of these well-being groups in the country. So I guess the question is, and I guess I've got two bits of homework, really. What are our giants, you know? We might not be someone sat here thinking, how do we change the nation for some particular issue? But actually, we've all got things, as I said earlier, that are probably stopping us from progressing in what God has for you and for me. What are our giants? You know, it could be things like anxiety. It could be things like depression. It could be suicidal thoughts. It could be shame. It could be any one of a number of things. But I just ask us, you know, as we go away from here, you get a chance today in the sun, say a prayer. Let's be honest with God about the things that are holding us back and say, Lord, am I looking at a giant? Am I looking at a Goliath rather than looking at you? And is it stopping me from stepping into what you've got in store for me? We had that. Because really, at the end of the day, what David did and what we need to do as men and women following God today is we turn and look at Jesus. We don't turn and look at the giant. We turn and look at Jesus. We pray for his help, and then we face the difficulty that God is with us. Amen. Amen. Roland.